What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bowen.
Ben, today we have a topic that comes to us from a listener, listener suggestion, and it's from a guy named Matt, and Matt is from Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, down in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a horrible accent. I'm sorry, we have a great deal of Australian listeners, and don't worry, guys, we've got that Holden podcast on the way. However, that's not why Matt wrote to us.
Exactly right. He wrote in to ask us about Graceland, and here's the way he kind of led into this whole thing. A coworker of mine just came back from an amazing tour of the U.S., and part of her tour involved seeing Graceland. Now, as I was looking through her photo album, I was struck by the very, very pretty cars that Elvis had. The cars were so beautiful, it took away my breath, is what he says. Now, tourists aren't allowed to use flash photography, apparently, so taking pictures, was a little bit tricky, in the dark, but sometimes a few of the snaps really kind of brought to life some of these cars that were on display there. Now, he mentions that, some of these cars, they're very plush, of course, the cars that are on display at Graceland, the cars of Elvis, right?
Right.
Very, very plush, and he says, that's funny, he says, a lot of those seats make me wish that I could have a nap on those after a sandwich. And he says it looked so comfortable to just lay down in like a big comfy bed, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I bet Elvis did nap in one of those seats at least one time. Of course he did. No doubt about it. Obviously. And he says, well, how about a podcast? The Cars of Graceland, the Elvis Cars. I don't care what you call it. I just hope that someday you'll decide to use this idea.
Well, congratulations, Matt, or congratulations to us. It's either your lucky day or ours, because we thought this was a fantastic idea. So let's get right into it. Little background information. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who we're talking about, that is Elvis Aaron, the King Presley, born in 1935 in Mississippi, even though he's known as one of the most famous guys from Tennessee. He was born in Mississippi.
Hard to believe. Now, if he was still around, he would be turning 80 years old next year.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's amazing to think about that because, the last image of him that we have, because he died in 1977, August 16th, 1977. He was only 42 years old when he passed away.
I mean, the brightest flames burn briefest, right?
Way, way, way too young. But I'll tell you, he packed a lot of living into that 42 years. And there's more to it than just the cars. There's some of these crazy stories that we hear about Elvis. I mean, really crazy.
When shooting TVs instead of changing the channel.
Shooting TVs, shooting cars. And it wasn't just the one car that we always hear about. There were multiple car shootings, Ben.
Right.
And let's see, there's just all kinds of stuff. I mean, some antics that went on with the Memphis Mafia.
Yep.
His eating habits,
drug habits.
Drug habits, of course. Some of the stage stuff, with the karate and supposedly drug fueled rants that he went on, in some of these shows that he was at in Vegas. And
he wrote to the president once or twice, asking to be part of the anti-communist task force.
Yeah, right. He met with Nixon. There's all these stories, and we'll touch on a few of these, but a few of the car ones. Some of the focus is going to be on the Cadillacs and you know, the cars that he gave away and the number of cars that he had and the, his love for driving. Because as I was reading this week, Ben, and I feel like I have to slow down here because I'm getting kind of excited. I was reading about Elvis all week long to prep for this thing, right?
Right.
And I was pretty young when Elvis passed away. I remember the day exactly, which is weird because it happened to be, it coincided with some other kind of crazy event that my family was going through at the time. We were on vacation. It was August 16th, 1977. And the only reason I remember the day is because it was the day that we walked out of the hotel wherever we were, somewhere here in the South, I believe.
Okay.
And I think it's maybe Tennessee. And someone had smashed the window out on our car with a spare tire.
Whoa.
And they had stolen our CB radio because, you know, it was the 1970s. And, there was blood on the seats and stuff from the robber who had crawled through to get the thing and removed it, but they cut themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're sitting there on the curb with the radio on, probably AM radio if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Listening to the news and heard that Elvis Presley had passed away. And, you know, as my dad's picking glass out of this car seat trying to get us to the next town or whatever. And I left my, there's another little side note.
Uh-huh.
I had a favorite little puppet thing that I carried and slept with, you know, like my comfortable little animal thing.
Sure, sure.
As I was sitting on the curb at the hotel, I left that there, and we had gotten about an hour and a half away from the hotel before I realized it.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I got to thank my parents right now. They turned around and went back for it.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like added a three hours to our trip or something. But, they went back and it was still sitting there, luckily. And, just a memorable day for many reasons. But, that's probably way before your time, right?
77. Yeah. I was not to my knowledge around.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I can tell you that my parents themselves are huge Elvis fans. Now, listen, Scott and ladies and gentlemen here in the audience, you guys, if you've heard the show before, know that I am from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I was born in Nashville. My family is mostly from eastern Tennessee. And, you know, you can't really argue about the king in Tennessee. It's kind of like saying you don't like Coca-Cola in Atlanta. So we have been, you know, I grew up with hearing Elvis songs, hearing Elvis legends, lifelong things. A little bit about background about me. I'm actually, technically speaking, I'm what's called a Melungeon. And there's this big rumor that Elvis might also be a Melungeon. I don't want to get us too far off the parts of Elvis's life that we're going to look at today, his car collection and other vehicles, but for anyone who's interested, if you have some free time in Google, check out Melungeons and let us know what you think about whether or not Elvis was one. Personally, I don't think so.
So possible tie here between you and Elvis.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Isn't that the joke with the smaller rural communities in Tennessee? We're all related, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to move out so I could find someone to date.
good point. All right. Hey, I have a question for you. Have you been to Graceland?
I think once when I was very, very young.
Okay. I have never been to Graceland. And from what I hear, it's, you know, I got a reasonable display of vehicles there. You know, there's like 20 vehicles.
But that's not all of them.
Definitely not. And it's not just Cadillacs. You know, mm-hmm. There's things like three-wheelers. And there's a go-kart there that I think the king owned. And I think there's an MGA from one of his movies.
Is his Rolls-Royce there?
I think it is, yeah. Maybe even a couple of Rolls-Royces. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a variety of cars there, and there's 20 cars there. And you think, well, that's a lot of cars, right? And the king was known for having a lot of cars. The truth is, he probably bought more than 100 Cadillacs.
Mm-hmm.
He bought more than 400 cars total in his lifetime, which
and gave a lot away.
400 cars. I mean, how many cars? You know, it's just incredible to think about this.
Again, he's only 42.
Now, the thing is, yeah, exactly right. And really, his stardom didn't happen until the mid-1950s.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 20 years there where he's really going at it. Like, as far as, you know, like if he sees a car he likes, he buys that car. If he hears about a car that he may be interested in, he'll travel to see that car and then likely come home with that car. And he would buy cars and give them to people without ever really even seeing the car himself. He would order them from a dealership, have them shipped to somebody that he either knew, you know, friends, family, coworkers,
maids,
even total strangers. If he just liked that stranger, he was a very generous, generous person. And you know, all that other stuff, it kind of overshadows maybe the generous giving nature of him. Now, I know a lot of people think about the Cadillacs and think like, well, that's a fantastic gift to give, right?
Yeah.
To him, that was like the ultimate gift because it was something that he had always looked at as part of, as more like a symbol of success.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give that to other people as well because when he was young, he didn't always have a lot of money. Like, he came from, pretty, I guess, modest beginning. Right?
Absolutely,
And was it Tupelo? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo, Mississippi is where he was born. And, he grew up, I guess, in a relatively normal way. I mean, you could read about, what his youth was like and everything. But his parents did give him a car for his 18th birthday. And they gave him an old used vehicle. It was a 1942 Lincoln Zephyr Coupe. Now, I've seen that also listed as a 1941 Lincoln Zephyr. I'll have to double check that, through history, things get changed around a little bit. But I think he joked even, I read it somewhere that he said he pushed that car more than he drove it, right? So it was a pile of junk, I guess, to begin with, right?
Yeah.
And he worked as a truck driver at some point in his young life, maybe after high school.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's driving around in the truck, he would say, as he's driving, he would see a big shiny car that would pass him, and it would be like a nice Cadillac typically that caught
right.
his eye.
Yeah.
And he would kind of daydream about it. Like, someday something's going to change that makes me famous, and I'm going to have something like that. And he would dream big dreams.
And also, that wasn't the only car he ever got a chance to drive at that time, the Zephyr, because there's an interesting transcript with this guy named Billy Smith, which you probably saw earlier too. And it's about, he grew up with Elvis. And when Elvis got his driver's license, Billy Smith's father was working for a company, called Precision Tool. And he was making pretty good money, which meant that he could get a 51, Chevrolet with just a couple bells and whistles. And so, this guy's dad lets Elvis borrow the car to take his driver's test. Mm-hmm. And everybody went with him. I mean, it's kind of a small town, so one person's doing something, everybody wants to hang out, right? And Elvis was pretty polite. He had what you would call home training, right,
sure.
in the South. And this was the first exhibit of road rage. I'm not going to read his quote because this is a family show, but apparently it's one of the first times that Elvis Presley cursed in front of someone when a car pulled out in front of them. And it's okay because that year he won the Safe Driving Award at his school.
That's pretty funny, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good story. So a lot of people have little anecdotes about, growing up with Elvis, about mm-hmm. being around Elvis, and those only get wilder and wilder as time goes on. A lot of girlfriends, that have come out and said some things, about what time was like with him, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was, unusual in some way.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's, this whole thing about the Memphis Mafia that we talked about. Now, these were kind of his yes men, right?
Yeah.
His friends, I guess coworkers, because he did pay salaries, but I think that most of their, the most of their wealth, if you want to call it that, because these are kind of like the guys that hang around Elvis and tell him that everything he's doing is great.
Entourage.
The entourage. That's a good way to put it, Ben. Yeah.
What a wonderful decision, Mr. Presley. Have another pill.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Sadly.
Happening. Yeah, that's right.
Not to mention the Colonel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Colonel, his manager. That's right. Colonel Parker. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But, the Memphis Mafia guys now, Red and Sonny and who else? Joe Esposito. There's a whole long laundry list of guys that were in the Memphis Mafia, and he's paying salaries to all these guys, to be around him and to make decisions for him or with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they were maybe not the best decisions. I think they were guiding him in the wrong way towards the end for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe early on it was more just kind of like, well, I'm successful, I'm going to hang out and share some of this with my friends, and that was a nice thought, right? But it did lead to some bad territory later on. And the thing is, he would give them gifts. Like, he would give them Cadillacs. He would give them houses. He would give them bonuses, all the time. It wasn't just like a Christmas bonus or whatever.
And he would take them on trips as well. Like, come on tour with me and see the world.
Yeah, I'm going to go play Vegas. And of course, I'm bringing my mafia members with me here, my Memphis Mafia. And, what was their symbol? It was the TCB with the flash, right?
Oh, yeah.
is it taking care of business
yes.
in a flash?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you'll see TCB with a lightning bolt. And I think he even had that painted on the wall of his house in the, I want to say in the jungle room.
Oh, man.
At Graceland. So, unusual character, Elvis. And man, I feel like, you know, we were just wandering all over the place. There's so much
okay.
here.
Yeah, let's jump into a big one first, all right?
Okay.
Let's get this out of the way. In March 1955, Elvis bought his first pink.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cadillac. Mm-hmm. The pink Cadillac is a huge deal across the world now. It has become iconic. And Scott, I think the word iconic gets overused often, mm-hmm. and I say that because I often overuse it. But in this case, it's correct. The pink Cadillac, just the concept of it, shows up in pop songs ever since. It's in movies. It's referenced in books. It's going to be something that hundreds or thousands of years later, future archaeologists find out about and wonder if there was some weird myth, which now there is.
Mm-hmm. And there's an unusual story that goes along with this first Cadillac, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. It didn't last too long.
No, it was a 54 Cadillac, and Elvis and a group who was with at the time, the Blue Moon Boys, were using this for about 3 months. A brake lining caught fire on the road between a place called Hope, Arkansas, and Texarkana, Arkansas, on June 5th. And I've got a quote from the man himself, if you want to hear it.
I'd like to.
I won't do an Elvis voice, but I will read it. The first car I bought was the most beautiful car I've ever seen. It was secondhand, but I parked it outside my hotel the day I got it and stayed up all night just looking at it. The next day, it caught fire and burned up on the road.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it's a shame.
Can I tell you one absolutely remarkable, and this is going to sound like I'm making this up and this is not made up in one bit.
I believe you. You're an honest person.
This is an incredible coincidence, Ben. Every day on my way into work, this is a little sidebar, by the way. Every day on my way into work, I drive by a place in downtown Roswell, Georgia, and it's called Roswell Dream Machines. And what it is, it's a mechanic shop, and they claim to fix anything. So oftentimes they'll have, and I think I've mentioned it even on this podcast before at some point.
Yeah.
They'll have all kinds of crazy cars out there. One time I saw what looked like a 1950s concept vehicle out there. I saw, wooden boats. I'll see muscle cars. I'll see Corvettes. I'll see modern vehicles there as well. So all kinds of crazy things are there. And it's a really small, old-time gas station that's been converted to this just service station. Okay. Only repairs happen in there. Today, of all days, as I drive by there, there is a mid-50s pink Cadillac with a black top.
That's so weird.
And I don't know if I didn't see it long enough to even know if it was a convertible top or if it was a hard top. I don't even remember seeing that. All I saw was that it was and I looked at the fins to try to determine what year it was, and I'm going to guess 55.
Okay.
Just on the shape of the fins.
Yeah.
But of all days, Ben, and I've never, ever seen that car there ever before because, you know, usually you'll see a rotation of cars that go there for service. You know, like you'll see it there once a month or you'll see it there twice a year or whatever.
Just getting regulars.
The tune-ups or whatever. First time I've ever seen that car, and today that we're recording this, of all days, is the day I see the pink Caddy. It was weird.
You never know, man. You never know whose Cadillac that is.
That's right. Oh, you know what? That's another thing that I want to point this out early before I forget this whole thing.
Okay.
All right. A lot of people claim to have a car that was owned by Elvis or that it was an Elvis vehicle, right?
I'm so glad you said that.
Now, okay, there's 400 of these cars out there that Elvis bought or more than 100 Caddies that Elvis owned.
Slash gave away.
And everybody thinks that that was a car that Elvis personally drove and was owner of, I guess, that would take it out, you know, run errands and get groceries, whatever.
No way.
Drive Lisa Marie in around town in, right?
No way.
Not necessarily the case. We mentioned all these gifts, right? He would give cars to anybody. So
sure.
A lot of people will say, well, this is a car that was owned by Elvis. And they'll say, well, yeah, he bought the car, but he never even saw that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some authentication that has to go on when people say that this is a true Elvis car.
Give this woman a Cadillac.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
Saying, yeah.
That's the first time we've heard you do your Elvis voice.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening. You hope it's the last time.
Maybe. So anyways, you got to authenticate this whole thing, and there's a way to do all that and everything. But out of the 400 cars, you know, there's a chance that most of them he did not actually sit in and drive.
Right, yes. And we know, however, that his lifelong affair with Cadillacs also involved some other cars. Now, let's just to make the point about how hurt and just PO'd he was about this first Cadillac burning up in 1955, in July, a month later, he gets his second pink Cadillac. Mm-hmm. This one's brand new. It's a Fleetwood Series 60. And he had it. It was originally blue, but he had it repainted by a neighbor who designed the color for him and even gave it its own name, right? It's Elvis Rose.
Ah, now that's the one. Okay, this is the one that he gave to his mother, isn't that right?
Spot on.
All right, so he gave this car to his mother, and his mother has no license, no driver's license.
Right.
But she said that's, you know, she would claim that's my car, but Elvis would continue to drive that car, right?
Right,
there's a lot of cars that we'll find in his history that he would give them to somebody like the colonel, you know, his manager, Colonel Parker.
Right.
And he would say, like, I'm going to give you this Cadillac. And he'd say, well, that's great, Elvis. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And he's like, well, I need that car to get back to my house in Beverly Hills. Can I use that? And he's like, go ahead. Fine. Yeah. And then it becomes a regular thing. And then pretty soon, Colonel Parker doesn't really even own that Caddy anymore. Then it's like he gifts it back to Elvis and, you know, who had been using it the whole time.
I think Elvis had done more than enough for the colonel.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah, exactly right. But this other Cadillac, this second Cadillac, I guess,
yeah,
is the one that he gave to his mother and had painted that very special color, that pink rose?
Elvis Rose.
Elvis Rose.
I mean, basically pink.
And that's the one that's on display in Graceland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one had originally a black top, and then it was converted over to a white top later on, right?
Yes. If you're cool with it, let's also start to laundry list some of the cars he has.
Let's do that because there's more than Caddies here in his history.
Okay. He's got that 1954 Cadillac limousine. Sorry. I know we said just now, we said no Cadillacs, but I feel like this is a little bit different because it's a limo.
Yeah.
It was originally blue. And I know you love this part, buddy. He had it painted yellow.
Painted yellow. Why the heck would you do that? That's clearly an attention grabbing thing. Now, maybe that was, his idea of gold at the time. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Cause, you'll find a lot of things that Elvis touches turn to gold, right? I mean, it's King Midas thing, right?
Heyo.
Yeah.
So this, side note with this. Oh, it was a Cadillac Series 75 Fleetwood.
Okay.
In 57, when he moved to Graceland, They use the vehicle to haul chickens, ducks, guineas, peacocks, and turkeys.
Isn't that something? A Cadillac limousine from 1954, and he's hauling chickens in it.
How foul.
Yeah. You've been waiting all day to use that.
I have worked on that one.
All right, so we're entering a time period here where Elvis was drafted into the Army. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know we're skipping around a little bit. There's some holes in this chronology.
Sure, sure.
But it's important to note that he went into the Army in around, I think he was drafted in about 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually spent a couple of years in the military.
Yeah, he served his time.
Yeah, he did. I mean, and they said that was pretty remarkable for him, because he could have gone into what they called the special services division, where, you know, people with, I guess, unusual circumstances.
Right.
And here he is at the height of his recording career. I think that would be a special circumstance. You know, they would say, like, this guy's kind of a national icon at this point.
Right. Should he just do USO or something?
Exactly right. But he said, no, I want to serve just like anybody else. I'm going to go over to Germany with everybody and just be one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly he was. I'm sure there was, there were a million photo opportunities that came with this and a lot of publicity. He knew that, you know, he came back, it was going to be right on top again.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, he serves this couple of years, but while he's there, I think he drove a Volkswagen. Is that right?
Yeah, he drove a Volkswagen. He drove a couple cars, Scott. He had an old Volkswagen. That was his first car,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then later that year, he started getting into BMWs.
Yeah, that's right. And not only that, he also kind of messed around with a Messerschmitt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a Messerschmitt, mm-hmm. if you know what a Messerschmitt is, it's a micro car, a bubble car, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's an unusual, quirky little car, but he really liked it. And he was kind of a mechanical guy, I guess, at the time. Later, he wasn't so much mechanical. He was more just, you know, in it for the looks. But he was, I guess, capable of, you know, tinkering around with this thing and making it work.
Yeah, he knew his way around under a hood.
Yeah, exactly right. So he had it paid to be shipped back from Germany after he was done with the military.
Mm-hmm.
And that car... He drove that car around town, and he would visit this tailor, I guess, right? This
yeah,
what was
yeah.
the tailor's name? I can't remember.
I can't remember the tailor.
I'll find it in just a second as we go here. But the tailor always kind of had an eye out for this car. He thought it was a sharp looking car, looked really good. It was you know, neat vehicle, right?
It's unique looking in that town.
Very unusual car. So Elvis drives up, and you know, one time, you know, Elvis says, "Tell you what, you've always had your eye on this car, and I've never wanted to sell it to you, but I'll make you a deal. You give me a 2.5 hour shopping spree in your store,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you that car." And the guy went for it.
Oh, I think I've got it. That's Lansky Brothers clothing store, right?
That sounds right.
Sounds
right.
Now, one funny story about the BMW as well. So when he buys this used BMW 507, Elvis doesn't know German. You remember this, right, Scott?
I do, and it's an awesome car.
So he thought... He thought it was the equivalent of what would be about $3,750 at the time versus $7,000 something for a new one. So the contract's written in German. Our boy Presley doesn't totally get it, and he thinks he's buying the car. Later, he learns that it's that price because it is leased. He leased the car and had to give it back.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something? Now, I also heard a second, you know, there's another story about that vehicle.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that I hear different things from different places. Like, so I'm reading different things in different sources. But here's what they said about the BMW in another tale, okay?
All right.
Interesting that he had leased it by mistake, not knowing that he thought he had purchased it. He was interested, of course. He at the time, he, like everybody else, was not infatuated, but really enjoyed the work of James Dean.
Yes.
And James Dean had that Porsche Spyder, you know, the one that he died in.
The cursed one, the bright red one.
Exactly right, the 550 Speedster.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about the closest thing he could find in Germany at the time was with this BMW 507. And it's from BMW Glocker. So you'll recognize that name, Glocker, if you look it up, you know, with BMW, with Porsche, whatever, something like that, right? You'll find it. You'll still find vehicles from there. Anyways, he was excited about owning this. It looked similar enough to him. It was a sports car. It was fun and everything. It was white.
Yeah.
And he found that females, adoring females and fans, you know, who knew who he was, would write with lipstick on the surface of the vehicle. They would write their name and phone number. They would write messages to him, and
in German
or in English or whatever. And he found that he couldn't get the lipstick completely out of the paint, because I'm guessing that it was like that one step paint or
yeah.
You know, the single stage paint.
That's maddening.
It was tough to get it out of the paint. So he was had this car that was kind of like a red stained vehicle now. So he traded it in. This is the other story. He traded it in for a red version of the same exact car because it couldn't, you know, he couldn't get the red lipstick off of the thing. What a problem to have, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So many adoring fans.
Somebody call the coal miners of the world and tell them they don't have it too rough.
Yeah, yeah. Poor Elvis.
So I'm going to just gloss over the 1960 Lincoln Continental Mark V, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it's a great car. It's one of the very first 1960 Lincolns. I think the serial number is 32. Mm. It's customized for Elvis. This had, you know, all the cool bells and whistles. And after 5 years, he gave the car to Alan from the Memphis Mafia.
Isn't that something? Give it away.
Again, I hope you guys can hear our air quotes that we're doing when we say gave, because he probably still borrowed it and used it. The reason I wanted to gloss over that is to get to the Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Ah, one of your favorites, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
These
yeah.
are beautiful, beautiful cars.
Mm-hmm. He, funny story about this one. So it's 1961, January. Cast your memory back there, as Van Morrison would say. Elvis signs a 5-year contract with Hal Wallace. So he buys this Rolls-Royce Phantom 5 to celebrate, and he gets it in Beverly Hills. He brings it home to, you know, to mama, and Elvis Presley's mom has chickens, right? And it's got a shiny new coat of paint on this Rolls-Royce Phantom. And these chickens see their reflections, the story goes, right? And they're just pecking at it. Scott, you're shaking your head not because you don't believe me, but because you're just appalled.
I'm just saying, what is up with these chickens and Elvis? I mean, it seems like chickens and Elvis are tied so tightly together. I had no idea with his Cadillacs.
He's a country boy,
that's
man.
Crazy. Well, and as, I guess Rolls-Royce at this point. So,
oh yeah,
man, weird. All right, so we're kind of moving through the 1960s. One of the craziest ones that I saw, and I think this is one that's on display at Graceland as well.
Uh huh.
This is the George Barris 1960 Cadillac Series 75 Fleetwood Limousine. Now that's a long, long title for a car, but it's a long, long car, too, when you look at it. I mean, it's a huge, huge vehicle, right?
Did you work on that one earlier?
No, I didn't. That just,
it's just off the top of the
head. It's organic.
That's great.
It's organic. Yeah, that's right. So this one has everything you would expect from an Elvis vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's opulent best word.
Yeah, I guess gold-plated everything. So it has gold-plated interior gadgets, like a phone. Now, remember, 1960, okay? 1960. And this is the guy that made the Batmobile, George Barris. All right, it has a gold-plated phone, shoe buffer, refrigerator, entertainment console with a 10-record automatic changer. Now, that's amazing because, you know, everybody kind of points to that one. Was it a Chrysler vehicle, I think, maybe, that had that under-dash record player?
Oh, the single record player?
Yeah, the single record player. Elvis had a 10-record automatic changer record player from RCA that was installed in this thing.
That's
he had a swivel TV and tape deck. Again, this is 1960. That's amazing. So maybe we should talk about the exterior as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about the paint too. 40 coats, my friend, made with things that would shame a chic. Pearl, diamond dust, oriental fish scales used on the outside. Why? What does that even mean? What's the point?
40 coats of paint. That's the point where it's to the thickness where it's starting to make the body look different.
Yeah.
That's strange. Weird that they would do 40 coats
with such exotic ingredients.
I feel like Elvis custom ordered those 40 coats. That's the way I feel about it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it sounds like somebody in his entourage just made up a list of things they thought were expensive. They said, okay, yeah, we need to paint it. And at first they said, I paint it gold. And they said, okay, do you want anything else? And it was like when you go to a pizza place and you're hungry and you just start naming ingredients. And one of them went, pearls, diamond dust.
Yeah, fish scales.
Fish scales?
40 coats.
40.
40.
40 coats.
Yeah, not 39, not 41. I want 40. And the hubcaps, of course, and the wheel covers, the headlight rims, the front grille, all plated with 24-karat gold.
Mm-hmm.
And gold lamé drapes, which were used to cover the back windows and separate the front from the back seats. It's just, it's an unbelievable car. And I'm sure that I've seen photographs of this one.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they were at Graceland or not. I believe it was.
Now, you may recognize this on Viva Las Vegas, who used it on the set there.
Ah, yes.
And
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So eventually, Colonel Parker sells this to RCA for $24,000 as a promotional tool, which makes it a loss, right?
$24,000? Come on. I mean, that's like, it's an easy, even back then, an easy $100,000 car.
Right. Yeah. And, for our Australian friends in the audience, Matt, you might be interested to know that this is one of the cars that, Elvis took on tour, in the car tour in 1968.
Well, of course he did. This is a, quite a showpiece, right?
Mm-hmm. And, let's see, in the 1970s, the car went to the Country Music Association Hall of Fame in Nashville. You can look inside it when there's a button you can hit where the roof comes off.
Of course there is. Yeah. Of course there is. All the bells and whistles, right?
What good is having all that if you can't show people that they don't have it?
Yeah, exactly right. All right. So let's go through quickly some of these.
Yeah.
And there's stories attached to every one of these. So I hate that we have to do this, but we're going to have to get through more to get towards the end here. Okay?
Right, right.
All right, so there's a 1962 Ford Thunderbird, and this is one that, you know, he picked up some late night, you know, he called the dealer, saw it in the window, and said, you know, I want that car, or something like that. It's an unusual story.
Which he often did.
Yeah, he often did. If, you know, if it's the middle of the night and he wanted a car that he saw, he would call the dealer, the owner of the place, and say, come in and show me this car. And, of course, because he's Elvis Presley, they would show up, and, of course, you know, because they knew that he would likely buy the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something unusual in a dealership, a lot of times people would contact him and say, hey, we've got a car here that we think you would like. And it's kind of a one-off thing, a custom job, but it's really outlandish. You want to come take a look at it? And he would show up, and oftentimes he would go home in that vehicle. He'd drive it straight home to Graceland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weirdly enough, he knew the salesman from childhood, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so there's also a Mercedes-Benz 600.
Uh-huh.
So he was buying a lot of different types of cars at this point. Now, we get into the late 1960s, and there's an interesting group of vehicles here, and these are, some claim that these may be his actual favorite vehicles. Now, we know his love affair with Cadillacs. We've already talked about that many, many times already.
Yeah.
But there was a group of vehicles that came out in the late 1960s, early 1970s called the Stutz Blackhawk.
Which some listeners may be unfamiliar with. The Stutz Blackhawks are, at the time, these became sort of the way Maybachs are now with the hip hop community.
Very low production, ornate.
Held
vehicles.
In high esteem, almost custom coach working.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the best way to put it. I mean, it was, they were low production. And when they first came out, you know, of course, Stutz isn't brand new. Stutz has been around for a long time, but these Stutz Blackhawk models were brand new in the late 1960s. And they had a couple of prototypes that they were showing around. You know, they were going to take them to, I think it was the LA Auto Show at the time.
Yep.
And Elvis caught wind of this and they said, you know, they wanted Elvis to see the vehicle. And they said, that's fine. And they said, well, would you take some press photos with it? He said, yeah, I'll take some press photos with it. And he liked the car so much that he wanted to buy it. And they said, that's fine, but it has to go to the show, et cetera. So they did that.
And you have to, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're missing part of the bidding war.
Oh, that's right.
So another guy that some of you may recognize, Frank Sinatra, also wanted the very first Stutz Blackhawk. And, that's very rock star of both of these guys. I don't want any of them. I want the first one. But when they said, okay, you can have it if you go with us and do some publicity for this car, Sinatra said no, and Elvis said yes.
Yeah, so that's the reason Elvis ended up with the car. I mean, Sinatra said, I don't want to really do the extra press work that goes along with it, but it's a cool car. Let Elvis have it.
Yeah.
So he did, and Elvis did go do the press photos and all that, you know, and there's a shot of him receiving the vehicle, I think, in his Beverly Hills home, because he had a home in Beverly Hills as well. And, I think that this early prototype vehicle was the one that ended up in an accident. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that is unfortunately correct. Elvis Presley did get the first Blackhawk for $26,000. And
it was a prototype again, so it's not production. Some unusual things on this car, not something that can be replaced. So he sends the car out to be washed one day, and it's involved in an accident, and he has it brought back to Graceland, and I believe that it just sat in the corner of the garage for a long, long time until after his death, as a matter of fact, before it was fully restored. And when I say restored, they couldn't even really restore it to the prototype condition because it had an unusual setup, I believe. I want to say that it was a difference in the rear window. The size of the rear window was different.
Yeah, and that can happen with prototypes as things get tweaked, because unless a prototype makes it perfectly into production, all that stuff could be considered a one-off.
Oh, yeah, and then the grille, I think, was different, and the front lights were a little bit different, not original. So, it's just a little bit different. So now this is truly a one-of-a-kind car.
And it's interesting because the team who worked on the car said that they don't consider it a restoration so much as a preservation. They said, we didn't restore the car. That would suggest we stripped off the car's history with Elvis and made it look like it just came from the factory. What we did was take it back to exactly how it was when Elvis drove it.
Ah, that's important because these are some of his favorite cars to drive. And,
right.
And he was a driver. This guy, you know, we'll talk about the rest of the Stutz Blackhawks in just a minute here.
Okay.
But I want to say that a lot of his driving was done at night.
Yep.
And the reason was because he just couldn't. Like, he couldn't manage around town during the day because of the fans, the people with cameras, you know, the early version of the paparazzi that we see today.
He would get mobbed.
Yeah, he just would get continually mobbed, and he didn't enjoy it. So he would go out late night to do errands, and he would go out late night to, you know, watch movies in a theater that he rented privately, you know, for he and his friends, because he couldn't go to a regular theater. So the drives, you know, when he would drive often at nighttime, and he would drive very fast a lot of times from what I hear. but he really, truly loved his car. So, you know, these are ones that he found these to be a driver's vehicle, which, look at a Stutz Blackhawk, and it doesn't look like that. It looks like a luxury car. It looks very overly ornate, I guess. You know, it's not for everybody, the design.
No.
But he really liked it, and he bought more of them. He bought the prototype.
Yeah.
And he bought the first production model Stutz Blackhawk in 1971. So that was, you know, I guess his second vehicle was actually the first production vehicle.
And then he bought two more. He had a 72 that was white, and in 73 he bought another one and went back to the black color.
Yeah, that's right. And it was unique because it had a red leather interior and 18-karat gold-plated trim, which, you know, now I think you can go to an aftermarket place and get gold-plated trim all over the place. You know, you can get it anywhere, really, almost anywhere. And but back then, you know, it was something you had to order from the factory. You had to say, this is Elvis Presley. I'd like to get 24-karat gold-plated Cadillac logos.
Right.
And all the trim has to be gold. And, you know, I'd like your dealership to do that in the next month. And often they would do that kind of thing. So this is an unusual car. And not only that, this is the very last car that he was ever seen driving. I mean, in fact, this is the last photograph of the King ever. It was taken inside this 1973 Stutz Black Hawk III. Again, the photo was taken just after midnight on August 16th, 1977. So that's the very day that he died. And you can just see that. You can look anywhere online, find a quick photo of him. He's just got his hand up, you know, waving to the people as he drives through the gates.
Yeah. And as we said in the beginning, unfortunately, Elvis Presley passed away at the age of 42, August 16th, 1977.
Exactly right. Now, but the Stutz was by no means the last vehicle that he bought or anything like that. I mean, there were others because, again, you know, that was a 1973 vehicle. He lived until 1977.
Right.
There's a lot of other vehicles here. In fact, the one that I want to get to right now, this is the one that a lot of people have heard of or have heard tale of, I guess. It's kind of a legend, but it's true. All right, so this is the car that Elvis shot. This is the 1971 yellow De Tomaso Pantera. It's a sports car, and it was purchased for a girlfriend of his. He dated a woman named Linda Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Thompson has been on many interviews. I want to say she wrote a book. I'm pretty sure she did. But she was on Larry King. I watched a Larry King interview with her that was, you know, half hour long or something, but pretty revealing, I guess. But again, this is a gift that he bought for her. It was like $2,400.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably pretty pricey at the time. Very limited production again on this vehicle, but it's sought after. People love this car now. Back then, they had a few problems. It wasn't, they weren't always the car that people look back at with these rose colored glasses, right?
And that was a $24,000, right?
No, it was $2,400.
What?
Yeah,
wow.
$2,400. I believe he bought it in 1974, and it was a 1971 car.
Ah, okay.
So again, the King's not always buying brand new cars. It's just whatever catches his eye. And this bright yellow Pantera caught his eye. Now, that's Italian for panther, and it's an Italian sports car. It's made by a coach builder over there.
And they had some problems.
They did. It had a Ford engine. It had Ford 351 and a Cleveland V8. It had 330 horsepower. And that first year in 1971, so the year that he has, only something like 1,007 of these Panteras made it to the United States. So it's a pretty rare find, I guess. You know, even 3 years later, it's still a rare find.
Yeah.
Now, extremely rare to find one,
no
I guess.
Kidding.
And they said most of these were very poorly built at the time. And I don't know if it was just the production or if it was just the factory itself or what.
Mm-hmm.
The people put it together, I don't know, the parts or what. But they said that they were so poorly built that several of these broke down on Ford's test track even when they brought them over to the United States. So it was not known to be a quality vehicle. Now, the whole reason that this one is mainly famous, I guess, is because this is the one that I mentioned he shot. He had it on the road one night driving it. It broke down, had to leave it on the side of the road and, you know, get a ride back to Graceland or wherever. He had this vehicle towed back to Graceland. And sitting there in the driveway, he's telling a friend of his about it, you know, like what happened. And he's getting just angry as he's talking about it, right? And as he gets angry, he pulls out a pistol and shoots the car and then apparently gets in and it starts right up again. Like that fixed it, right? And that's in his head. He's thinking that fixed it. And this person, you know, collaborates a story that, you know, it wasn't running. He shot the car and now it's running again. So what happened, right? So in his mind, he fixed it by shooting it, right? Or something like that. I don't quite get, you know, the tie in there, but he put this together. Now Elvis has shot TVs and things like that.
Sure.
He shot a TV in Las Vegas where I think it was Robert Goulet was on the television. There's a whole story about that as well.
Yeah.
But he had this bad habit of shooting things when they weren't working right for him. And he shot this Pantera twice. There's another hole in there's a bullet hole in the steering wheel where he shot the dash when it had broken down on him again. And that's not the only vehicle that he shot, Ben.
No, it's not. I'm delighted to hear more of these stories.
There's another one that that most people don't remember. Now the Pantera is one that kind of toured.
That's
with
the famous one.
Yeah, it toured with, I think there was a show called The Cars of the Stars or something. And,
yeah.
And this is one that, you know, gained attention because it was the one that he shot and his temper and all that stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's another one that, he had purchased, I guess, a 1968 Cadillac Eldorado at a Memphis dealership just after Christmas in 1967. It was a gift for himself.
It
was
yep.
a bright gold vehicle. And, of course, it was, Ben. It was painted bright gold.
Sure.
So he used to drive around, I guess, just after his daughter, Lisa Marie, was born. And in early 1968, or 1969, it wouldn't start. So he goes and gets another pistol, and he shoots it, a hole right through the right front fender.
Good. That'll show it.
It didn't work out. It didn't start up again, like, you know, magically like the Pantera did.
Oh, he shot it in the wrong spot,
I guess.
He
shot this. Now, this is prior to the Pantera, right?
Right.
So, you know, after that, he gave it to Priscilla's. Priscilla was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to Priscilla's stepfather as a gift, and the car is still around, and it still has a bullet hole in the right front fender.
Well, at this point, you probably wouldn't want to fix it, right?
Well, probably not. I mean, that's part of the whole history. You know, that's the mm-hmm. that's the whole allure of owning an Elvis vehicle, right?
The mystique.
And right here is where the king shot it to try to fix it.
Now, for anyone else who is listening, you're probably kicking yourself and saying, Scott, Ben, why aren't you getting to this other story about Elvis that I know? And that's because, except for a few more things, I think I'm about wrapped up.
Okay, I've maybe got a couple.
You got a couple?
I got a couple, right. And I'll try to keep them brief because I know we're running a little bit long here. But
okay.
All right.
Well, we can't get to all the stories, folks, is what we're saying. But
you know,
hopefully
you know
we can get a few of these in.
I would love to be able to tell you about when I'm not going to, but he would ride on his ranch, and he was infatuated at the time with eating hot dog buns without the hot dogs. And so he would tie a bag of hot dog buns to the saddle horn of his horse and eat them as he rode around on his ranch.
Oh, I have another. Oh, man, I forgot. I'm sorry. Also, motorcycles. We haven't even talked about Elvis and motorcycles.
Oh, let's talk about motorcycles for just a minute then.
Okay, well, he loves motorcycles. Like, this guy really is a gearhead. And as, you know, as he becomes more successful and he has less time, he's not tinkering with vehicles as much. He just likes the look. And one of his entourage members says he didn't care if a car was $5,000 or $50,000. If he liked the way it looked, he would just have it and more often than not give it to somebody, which is why the Stutz Blackhawks were rare, right? In that those were the only vehicles where he expressly said about one of them, only I drive this one, after the prototype was damaged. But the motorcycles were kind of the same rules. He loved it. There's so many publicity photos of him in the army uniform, hopping on a bike and,
getting on a Harley, right?
Yeah, it was a Harley.
Yeah.
Good call.
Exactly right. All right. So, I mean, I know that he has motorcycles on display at Graceland, right?
Or yes.
There must be motorcycles on
yeah,
display.
Yeah, there are.
He had a whole staple of them, I guess, mm-hmm. at some point, as he did with other vehicles. You know, if he saw it and he liked it, he would buy it. They said it didn't matter if it was $5,000 or if it was $50,000.
Right.
He would just buy it on the spot. And like a lot of times, like you said, he would just give it away because, you know, he doesn't need more than, you know, a couple of Cadillacs at a time. Really to get around.
He also had one other vehicle that he loved, and I'll save it till the end.
Save it till the end. Okay.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it a kind of a one-off Cadillac?
No.
Okay. Then maybe I'll tell you this next story. How about that?
All right.
I'm going to leave out the Nixon story to tell you this one because this one, you know, pertains exactly what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Cars. Okay, we'll stick with cars, I guess. So, all right, so he had one that a lot of people claim to be his favorite Cadillac. Now, I don't know how you could proclaim to have a, you know, the favorite Cadillac, I guess, of Elvis, but probably the owner of the current, you know, the vehicle right now says this was his favorite.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I would think, maybe.
Okay.
But there's some historical data that backs this up that maybe he really did like this one an awful lot. All right, so, you know, he bought hundreds of Cadillacs probably, right?
Right.
If not, you know, several hundred. Anyway, so he bought one that was a, this is crazy. He bought a 1972 custom caddy station wagon. Now that's got to be a massive vehicle. I mean, just enormous, right? Think about, think about a huge Cadillac from early 1970s with a station wagon back end on it.
Wow.
With the gate and everything. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only two of these were ever made. Now and of course Elvis owned one, which is in the hands of a private owner right now, as far as I know right now, because this was a couple of years ago. The other one was owned by Dean Martin, you know, out in Vegas.
Oh,
and, Dean Martin.
Okay. Rat Pack.
Yep, exactly right. And they can't locate it. They don't know where that one ended up. So, you know, that's either a barn find for somebody someday, or it's sitting in the desert somewhere, or it's been crushed, or who knows. They just can't figure out where the Dean Martin car went. But the Elvis 1972 Caddy is alive and well, and it kind of makes the rounds occasionally, you know, at the big auction houses. You'll see it for sale sometimes. It had gold emblems, of course, 24-karat gold spoke wheels, rather. And I believe it was owned even after his death by the Graceland estate. So they continued to own it to, you know, go get groceries and, you know, run errands, things like that, you know, afterwards. All right. Now, Elvis gave this car. Here's another one that he gave away. He gave it to his manager, Colonel Parker, as a gift. But he found that he needed to use it often because this is the point in his career when he was doing all these shows out in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He was selling out Vegas continually. Like, he sold something like 58 continuous shows in Vegas, and it was like an attendance record. He just shattered all records in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
But his home is in Beverly Hills, so he would travel back and forth from Vegas to Beverly Hills often. And, you know, this giant Cadillac was big enough for him, his friends, all their luggage, and it was a comfortable ride, right? So he would often borrow that car back from Colonel Parker and drive back and forth between Vegas and Beverly Hills. And I guess later Elvis eventually took the car back to Graceland because, you know, Parker, I guess, or Colonel Parker got tired of tracking down this car and saying, you know, like, where's my car this weekend? He's like, oh, I got it back at the place in Beverly Hills. And, you know, right now it's over at the shop getting service. So he was like kind of in charge of it more than Colonel Parker was at this point, even though it's technically his car. And so Colonel just said, just take it back. You know, I'm giving it back to you as a gift. You know, you love that car, obviously. So he drove it back to Graceland, and that's when you know, they continued to use it, I guess. And that sale that I mentioned, they sold it in 2010, I believe. It was up for sale for something like $139,000, Ben. So, you know, having the king in the car's history, knowing that it was one of his favorite cars to drive, you know, at a very significant part in his career, added to the value. So, I mean, $139,000 is a lot of money. It's got 73,000 miles. And I believe it was in Florida at the time. I looked up the area code of the person who was selling it.
Yeah.
And it was somewhere in Florida. I don't know where that car is now, but if you know of where the other car is, the Dean Martin car is, that'd be the one to have, right? Because that's, you know, the only other one of the kind, one of the vehicles that they made like that.
Right. And it probably has lower mileage. It's just when we were talking about this, I'm picturing you at the auction saying, well, what does it get per gallon? What's the mileage per gallon, and when were the tires rotated?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, like you're going to nitpick over some little details. Right?
Yeah, I would do that too. I would say, you know, I have $100,000 and work up from there.
Is that an 8-track player? Because that's a little outdated.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are going to paint it, right?
that yellow doesn't work for me.
Oh, boy. Going back to our podcast on buying used cars, which is what you would be doing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll end up with one last thing, if that's all right with you, Scott.
Of course.
There's another vehicle that has gone on display at the Elvis Presley Automobile Museum at Graceland, which is what they call that collection of vehicles. And it is not a car, and it is not a motorcycle. It is, in fact, a John Deere tractor.
A tractor?
Yeah, Elvis also was into this tractor. I don't know if it was every tractor, but yeah.
He was just like he was a car guy. He loved mechanical things.
Yeah.
I
mean, and if you're a country boy, then you kind of have to have a tractor.
Of course, whatever struck his fancy, right?
Right. So he used it, on his Mississippi ranch and at Graceland. And so the Elvis Presley Enterprises folks, cooperated with John Deere to rebuild this, 410 or 4010 tractor. And he got it, let's see, in 1966, and he kept it until the time of his death.
Wow, that's well into his success. I mean, he's already, you know, been a big recording star for at least 10 years at that point.
Yeah.
What's he doing buying a John Deere tractor and driving around on the farm?
I mean, sometimes you gotta have a tractor, man.
I guess he's from Tennessee. What do you got?
If you have a ranch and if you're doing farm work, then you'll probably need a tractor.
You're right. There's a variety of vehicles, and that's why he has all these ATVs and go-karts and all that other stuff too. I mean, it's just fun toys, really.
I mean, the limo was strictly for the chickens, Scott.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, we, Matt, thank you so much for writing to us. We hope that you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Scott and I have to head out, as well as our super producer, Noel, who's there behind the boards for us every episode. Let's see. I don't think I'm going to shoot my car today. What about you, Scott?
I'm definitely not going to shoot my car. It doesn't do anything.
All right.
Well, it might add to the value, though, if we ever become famous.
Maybe.
But if we don't, it just kills the value.
It's just a shot-up car.
Exactly right. And Ben, can I just say one last
thing before we finish? Yeah.
I just wish, like, I know that, you know, this is a podcast just about cars, but there's so many spin-off oddball stories about Elvis, and we tried to touch on them as we went through the car history as well.
Yeah.
But as I was reading, I mean, I mentioned the hot dog thing on the on the ranch. There were so many just eccentricities about him that were so funny and so unique.
Yeah,
him.
Just the sandwiches he invented.
Yeah, just incredible stuff about him. I mean, he's a really fascinating, fascinating guy. And I want to start reading some of his, you know, the biographies about him to get more and more information, because he's just crazy. I mean, and 42 years, I mean, that's all he lived. But there's just this wealth of information about him and you know, how he's a giving person. And, everybody who came in contact with him said they really genuinely liked the guy. He was really just a good guy to be around. And I believe that. I mean, he seems like a kind of guy that if he's still around, I'd like to meet him.
You know what? That is one of the nicest, most genuine things you can say, I think, about a celebrity. Because it's weird when you get to that status, you have to wonder, am I just paying my friends to hang out with me? But he seemed like he had a really good heart.
Well, there were those core guys that, you know, at some point maybe there was that bit of, you know, I'm in it for something, you know.
Sure.
And I'm sure that some were that way. But there were other, you know, groups of people that hung around him that were genuinely just excited about being around him because he was a good guy.
And a lot of those stories about him meeting regular people and just wanting to help them are true.
Yeah, and, you know, not even the ones that he gave a Cadillac to or gave a house to or whatever.
Right,
he was generous in that way, sure. He was like Santa Claus sometimes. People, you know? But the thing is, I think people that even just knew him and met him and never really received anything from him still enjoyed being around him because he was just a good guy. And do you feel the same way? Do you feel like you would like to have met him or known him?
Well, sure, yeah. I get along with pretty much everybody who's also from Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm in by default. But we do have to head out. So if you would like to hear more car stuff, check out our website, carstuffshow.com, where you can see every one of the 590-something episodes that we have done so far. This might be 600. Neither of us are keeping very good count. But you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW. And if you want to take a page out of Matt's book and give us an idea for an upcoming show, email us. We're around, and our address is
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.